Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. All right, we're still trying to get our sound equipment, and this is a new microphone, and so trying to get it all worked out. So bear with us a little bit there as we get it adjusted and to where we get it to where it sounds the way that we want it to sound, okay? If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 4. Acts in chapter 4, as we're studying the life of the Apostle Peter. The life of the Apostle Peter, and I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you to study the life of the Apostle Peter as Jesus saved him and then discipled him the whole time that Jesus was with Peter for those 3.5 years. He was discipling him, preparing him for what he is now doing in the apostolic age, and that's where now we're studying the book of Acts when it has... with what it has to do with the Apostle Peter, and he is accomplishing, he's doing what he was discipled to do. And that's a blessing because all of us, God is overseeing, and he brings people into our lives to disciple us. And as we are being discipled, it is for us to do what God would have us to do. And so we have been discipled to accomplish whatever it is that God has for us to accomplish. And so that's what we're studying with the Apostle Peter, as now he's doing what he was a disciple to do. He was able to use the power that God had given to him to see the lame man not only healed but saved. He was made whole spiritually and physically. And right after that, we find that the same religious leaders, the Sanhedrin Council, the very same that orchestrated the crucifixion of Jesus Christ some 8 weeks earlier, they set their sights on Peter. Now, we know they also set them on all the apostles, but we're studying the life of Peter, so we're seeing it through Peter's eyes. And so now we have the Sanhedrin Council focused on Peter to keep him from accomplishing what God had for him to accomplish. There's opposition. And I trust that as we study the opposition that God has recorded for us in the life of Peter, that we will be a little bit more prepared for the opposition that will come against us as we're looking to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, that we've been discipled to do. And we know that it's the same enemy. No devil is behind all the persecution of the church and the persecution of the children of God. The opposition to keep us from accomplishing those things. And so hopefully as we study the life of Peter, especially here in the book of Acts, it'll help us in being prepared for the very same types of opposition to God's will for our lives. Okay, so Acts chapter 4. Now have you been brought up to where we need to be? Everybody knows where we're at here. Chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And now there's the next lesson we need to study. I think they got the microphone working right. Does it sound about right to everybody? Some thumbs up, ready to go. All right, now go ahead and stand with me. Go ahead and stand. And let's study the Word of God. This is a blessing. You know, I mean, it wasn't that long ago we weren't able to have anybody in the auditorium. It's a blessing for me and the other staff members that I'm allowing to have a little more opportunity to preach during this time because they're not teaching Sunday school. They're not preaching and teaching in other areas. And so it's a blessing not to be preaching to empty pews. It's a blessing to be able to have our church family coming back and safely assembling ourselves. And before, we just had to trust that the live streaming was working. And we don't have an indication of whether it's in or out when we're up here preaching. We just preach as if everyone was listening. But it is a lot better to preach to faces and to preach the Word of God to those who can respond. And so don't act like you're at home sleeping, okay? Respond. And if you're at home, don't be sleeping while you're watching here, okay? Stay focused. Stay in there. Receive. Even say amens every now and then for the neighbors to hear, okay? And all right, let's read here. Let's go. Acts chapter 4, verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with the apostles, they, the Sanhedrin council, could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you now. Again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities to be in church. Thank you for the precious word that you have preserved for us to study and to hear preached and to learn from and apply. Pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching from your word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So here we find these same religious leaders who were against Jesus, orchestrated the crucifixion. Now they're focused on Peter and John, and there are two main concerns. And if you look at these two main concerns, you'll find it's the two main concerns of leadership in the world that does not believe in Jesus Christ. Leadership in the world that do not want to support and agree with Christianity. Leadership in the world that wants to eliminate those that do. So we find here the two main concerns in verse 14 down to verse 17. It reveals them to us. And the first would be in verse 16, or verse 17, it says, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." The main concern that they had at this point, knowing that they had crucified Jesus and thinking that they had put an end to this Jesus mentality, of this Jesus movement, of this, in their minds, a religion that is against everything that we stand for, a belief that is against our positions, it's against our beliefs. So their first of the two main concerns was to stop the preaching of Christ. That it spread no further. We thought we stopped it when we had him crucified. And yet we find it popping up again. We find that these are the two men, and they marveled at them, and we studied that last week, that they perceived them to be ignorant men, unlearned men, and the only thing that they had going for them is they knew that they had been with Jesus. And so they marveled at that, trying to put it all together. They couldn't quite understand how that all come together and how that they could do what they had done. But they didn't want to focus on what they had done. They wanted to focus on stopping it. Stopping the preaching of Christ. That it spread no further. Now in chapter 4 and verse 2, if you remember, we looked at this briefly when in verse 2 it said, being grieved, the Sanhedrin was grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They did not want to put anything out there that would lead them to believe that Jesus, that they crucified, actually resurrected from the dead. And yet they were preaching that Jesus had resurrected, and that if they was going to have everlasting eternal life, that they would have to put their faith in Jesus. They knew that that's what they were preaching. In verse 10, they said, the disciples, Peter had said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified," I mean, Peter was very bold, and we studied that against them, "by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." So they had already heard that, and now they have them before the Sanhedrin, and they're looking to how they can stop this movement. And so they wanted to stop the preaching of Christ, because the Sanhedrin had rejected Jesus, the man, as being the Messiah. And so if they had rejected him, then everybody ought to reject him. The mentality of the world is, well, if we can agree on how we want to live, if we can agree on our doctrine, if we want to can agree on our religion, if we can agree on what we want to do, then we don't want anybody to come in here and make us feel bad about our beliefs, bring conviction on what we're doing or how we're living. And so this is what we believe, and so we have to stop anything that anyone that would have a faith that would go opposite our philosophies of religion and our philosophies of life. But if you're saved, and I would look around thinking that everyone in this auditorium here on a Wednesday night, as far as I can see and as far as I can tell, everyone here is saved. I can't look into the live stream to tell if everyone's viewing in right now is saved. But if you are saved, can I tell you, that's what we promote. We promote the preaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ. No matter what other religions say about it, no matter what politicians say about it, no matter what other people say about it, other nations say about it, that's what we're going to preach, and that's what we're going to teach, because we know it to be the truth. It's what we promote. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah, but as Christians, that's exactly what we receive. That's what we present. Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews, we base that upon the Bible. God allows me to. We're going to be looking at that as the foundation, the Word of God as the foundation to our belief and our understanding of all things. But in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, the Bible says this: God... Now, the Sanhedrin believed in a generic God. Most people will at least acknowledge a generic God, because they know that most people believe in a generic God. So most leaders will at least acknowledge a generic God, as long as you keep it generic. Don't get to the real things, the real stuff. Hebrews in chapter 1, it says this: God, who at sundered times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and if you believe that Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ who was manifest in the flesh, that walked on the face of the earth, that brought to us genuine Christianity,
If you believe him to be the creator of all things, if you truly believe that he was there in the beginning with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, when everything was created that was created, how can you not want to preach and to teach Jesus? Even when everyone else wants to stop it. They want to stop the preaching of Christ. It's what we promote. There in the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, let me just read to you verses 1 through 3. I mean, this is Bible. This is what we look to. This is truth. It has withstood the test of time. It's what God has revealed to us to be able to know the truths of all things. In the book of Titus there, in chapter 1, he says this, in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, because truth has to come into play. We want to preach Jesus because we believe him to be truth. We want to continue to preach Christianity and the truths of the Bible because they're real. For the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times in this New Testament church age, manifested his word through preaching. That's what the Bible says God has determined in this New Testament church age to be used to help people to understand truths. He's empowered the word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah, including all that he taught concerning doctrine and all that he taught concerning way of life. That's going on today. It's going on today in America. I can't believe that America is so divided the way it is right now. I mean, we're seeing a lot more of it in different states and different cities, and what some states and cities are promoting and what some states and cities are standing against, things that you think, just truth. Or it's history. You can't erase our history. Bad or good. You just don't hold on to the good history because you learn from the bad history. You can be blessed by the good in history and you can learn from that too, but you can learn from the negative points in history so that we don't repeat some of the very same mistakes. And as we learn about history, we look at the Bible, and the Bible's always been where it is today. And our bad history is because we did not focus the truths that we live by on exactly what the Bible says. Even when it comes to gender, and God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't love the man more than the woman. He has different positions for the man and the woman. But both positions are unique to a man and are unique to a woman. And you need both to have the society that God has established for us. But have women always been treated right? No. But has the Bible changed? No. It's our interpretation of the Bible. And I trust that we have learned, even in the church, from the history, the negative history of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that were wrong when it came to application of certain things. But we have that history to look back on and realize mistakes made. Let's don't continue to make them. And that's what's important, because the Bible's true. It's more important than politics. They wanted to stop the preaching of Christ. And can I tell you, that's if you're a true born-again believer, that's exactly what you want to promote. Yeah. The second thing we find that their main concerns, and it's still, again, religion, that their main concern is to stop and promoting the teachings of Christ as literal teachings of Christ. The second thing that they wanted to, or they was concerned about, was found in verse 16. Go back there with me. Acts in chapter 4 and verse 16. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and it's manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. They're thinking about how this has impacted everyone that is in Jerusalem. And because of how it's impacted everyone who is in Jerusalem, we cannot deny it. If it hadn't impacted the people, then we would deny it. Basically is what they're saying. This would be easy just to go ahead and have them put in prison. It would be easy for us to go ahead and have them crucified or have them stoned. But everyone sees the miracle. And because of everyone sees the miracle, we can't deny it if we want to continue the praise of man. And they wanted the praise of man to be salvaged. They weren't motivated by truth. They were motivated by the polls. It's human nature. It's politics all over again. They weren't motivated by right and wrong and truth and holiness and honesty. They were motivated by the praise of man. Can I tell you tonight, most everyone wants to be liked. Even those that say they don't care what other people think. You take a bath. You look at your face, look at yourself in the mirror, and you brush your teeth. You might be concerned about this, and you might be concerned about that, and you put on certain clothes, and you do certain things, whether you want to realize it or not, you're thinking of others when you're doing that. You're thinking about your perception, their perception of who you are, whether you understand or not. It's human nature. Most everyone wants to be liked. Some want to be praised. Some seek leadership because of the praise that they want. Some even want to be worshiped. Not everybody wants to be praised. I understand that. Praise the Lord for that. Because if you want to be praised, then you really shouldn't be in ministry. Amen. Because Jesus came as a servant, not to be praised, but to serve. He's deserved praise. And he is getting praise. And he will continue to have praise. But he came as an example for Christianity, not to live his life seeking the praise of man, but the praise of God as a servant of God's. I believe too many are in leadership who are seeking to be praised. And then too many are in leadership that even want to take it a little bit farther than that and want to be worshiped. And that's the DNA of the devil himself.
And if you will, that's inside of all of us if we would yield to it. Lucifer, and we won't go there, in Luke in chapter 14, it reveals exactly what took place in heaven, and he wanted to be worshiped as God. He wanted to have the recognition as God. And now, as he has been kicked out of heaven, and his abode is on earth, and he has influenced humanity with his sin nature. And that sin nature has been passed down to all of us. So within every one of us, if we would feed it, would be a sin nature that would want to be worshiped. Parenting should never be looked at as being worshiped by your children. Even though you could raise them to worship you, and it's sad to say, some do. And they never want to let go of them because they want to continue to have that worship. Yeah, that's why the Bible says that you leave mom and dad and you establish a home that God has given to you to raise your children to one day leave the home. Yeah. Matthew chapter 4. Because as we see this, can I tell you, it's something that it's what we battle today. Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says, and again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Can I tell you that's still going on today? That was the temptation of Christ, but there is a type of temptation to every man, woman, and teenager here. That if we would yield to it. Jesus said unto him, get thee behind hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. As we worship the Lord our God, then we will follow Christ and his example in New Testament Christianity, no matter what the opposition. Two main concerns. Stop the preaching of Christ and keep the praise of men. Salvage the praise of men. You'll find that in society today because that's the devil. That's exactly what Satan's wanting to do. If he can get humanity to praise him or that is which is antichrist, then he has accomplished what he is wanting to accomplish. Because that is not the preaching and the teaching of Christ. So we go back to our text here tonight, Acts chapter 4. The religious leaders were concerned about the wrong things. Their agenda had and has, had then and has today, no place in public service. Has and has, had and has no place in church ministry. Amen? No place at all. But that's what was going on. And it will be something that you will be hindered with as well. So after this, we find in verse 18, the restrictions that they gave Peter. The restrictions are very similar to what we've even faced in time past here in America. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them. It's almost like, let's set up laws. A command would be a law that was want to be passed. Not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. I remember when they was taking prayer and out of schools, and they would still have... Many schools would have graduations and they would have public assemblies. And it wasn't necessarily just a generic prayer that they were. They wanted a generic prayer. But I remember them saying, you just can't use the name of Jesus. You remember that? I mean, it was their main agenda. Let's include
a generic God because everyone still believes in a God, and for the weak-hearted and the weak-minded, they need a crutch, and the crutch is believing that there's some kind of a God out there. We know there's no God, and we understand that society, a lot of times, that's their mentality, is the weak need to believe that there is a God, and on, all that thing. So let's not take God completely out, but you can't use the name of Jesus, because that describes doctrine. Yeah. The restrictions given to Peter is somewhat some that we've experienced ourselves is you can't preach or speak at all in the name of Jesus. They didn't want the name because they were evil. And the name is powerful. The name of Jesus separates Christianity from religion. The power in the name of Jesus Christ that God has given to his church separates the church from religion and the philosophies of man. Yeah. Philippians in chapter 2. See what the Bible says about that. In the book of Philippians in chapter 2. I remember I was asked to open up a particular assembly way back, and they said, but you just can't use the name of Jesus. And I said, then you got the wrong man. I said, I can't pray without using the name of Jesus. God doesn't listen to a prayer that doesn't include the name of Jesus. Yeah. They thought I was some kind of religious fanatic or something. Philippians in chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. It's only in the name of Jesus that you can impact heaven and earth. Yeah. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Satan does not want us to use the power in the name of Jesus Christ. He wants us to eliminate the name of Jesus unless it is profaning the name of Jesus. People that don't even realize what they're doing, and they use vulgar language, and they'll use the name of Jesus in a vulgar, profane way. And they don't even realize that's what they're doing. Same way with God. And yet we understand it's not to be used in vain. If you mention God's name, you better be aware of who God is. If you mention the name of Jesus Christ, you better be aware of who he is. And only use his name the way that God has given us to use his name. To impact heaven and earth. Yeah. That's what they were asking Peter to do. You can be religious, Peter. You just can't name the name of Jesus. I think we already know enough about Peter to know that that was not going to go over very well. That's the restrictions they wanted to give to Peter. Peter's response in this, and that's it. Peter's response. Look back there with me, verse 19. Acts chapter 4, verse 19.
But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God. We're going to come back to that. But I've got it underlined in my Bible. Right in the sight of God. To hearken unto you. And I love the wording here. More than unto God. He didn't say instead of. But he used the term more than. That means that they had listened to him. They had a public office. They had an authority as a Sanhedrin that as Christians, we do need to listen to the authority that has been established. We have to be aware of law and order. We have to be aware of positions of authority to have a civilized community. There has to be authority. There has to be positions of responsibility. And we need to listen to that. But he says more than. They listened to them, but after they listened to them, they realized they could not obey when it was against the will of God. Now, you've heard this, and no doubt we've preached it many a times, but I trust it sinks in there because Peter was very respectful here, and he said, more than unto God. We're listening to you, but you're not God. We can respect the position that you have if you have a elected position or you have a position of authority, whatever it might be. But I'm not going to give you more authority than God. Can I tell you, we must always consider what's right in God's eyes. Because that's what he considered. And said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than. God would have us to listen. It's more than they did for Peter. They didn't listen to Peter. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. But Peter said, I will give you an ear. I will listen. But I will not give you more authority than God. We must always consider what's right in God's sight because God is ever watching. When Peter was standing there before the Sanhedrin and they were telling him that we command you not to, what gave Peter the strength to be able to stand where he needed to stand and say what he needed to say was he was aware of God's presence. God is always watching. God's always observing. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're having to deal with, can I tell you that you have to be aware of God's sight. You have to be aware that God is aware. God is watching. God is looking. And he is wanting you to respond according to the teachings of Christ. And that's good stuff right there. In the sight of God, God is ever watching. And because we know that God is ever watching, then Peter would present verse 20. Because God is ever watching, I listen to you and I know what God says. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. If they were to be right with God, in the presence of God, I can't do what you're asking me to do. I am going to continue to present what I know to be truth. Amen. That's the way we continue to live out this New Testament church age. No matter who's in positions of authority, no matter what the political agenda, no matter what direction it goes, it's how we continue to live out our lives in representing Jesus Christ. Then, the Bible says in verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Motivated by the praise of men, they let them go. There's something about that praise of men. Peter used it on his behalf. But what he was doing is realizing he's looking to God first. And I'm going to say, and I'm going to represent, and I'm going to continue to preach, and I'm going to continue to teach the things that I know to be true, that I know that God would have me to present, no matter what society looks to, no matter what the government authorities establish, I'm going to represent Christ. I trust that's something that we can all do as well. Whether it's an election year or not, you represent Christ and do exactly what Christ would have us to do. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Life of Peter, and especially in the apostolic age and battling the Sanhedrin, it's a mindset is what we're looking at. An antichrist mindset versus a Christ-like mindset. You know, let us always have a Christ-like mindset in everything we say and in everything we do. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I thank you for opportunity just to assemble, be together here for those in the auditorium as well as those in the gymnasium and those at home. And I ask right now, God, that as we have presented this truth in the life of Peter, that you would now take it and help us all to know how we individually need to apply it to our lives. And if there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that we would make them even tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.